Wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you got to say?
Now you can use your cell phone. When school's out, bring out the cell phone. But during school, put that cell phone away. Remember that song every year when it was the last day of school? We all used to jump in the car in my 1968 Buick Wildcat. And we used to crank that song, School's Out for Summer. And boy, it was like, it just felt like forever. Well, summer felt like it was forever back then. It seemed like it went on so long, and then now it goes by so quickly. But what do you think about the whole cell phones in schools or any of the other topics that we've introduced this morning? 508-996-0500. We got all regular callers calling in, and please, if you're a regular caller, please call in. I'd love to hear from the regular callers, but I'm going to challenge people that have never called before or people that rarely call. Call in. You know, we're going to bite each other's heads off. We'll talk, see what you have to say. If you have a different point of view or something a little bit different than I've said or what some of our regular callers say. If you've never called before, or maybe you've only called once or twice, right? I challenge you. Just go to the phone. It's not that hard. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul Santos.
Yes,
how are you today?
There he is. I knew you were going to call too. How are you?
How did you know I was going to call?
I don't know. I just had that feeling. Actually, I'm glad you did, because you always have an interesting call.
Well, I like the last caller said, I do enjoy your show.
Okay.
Even if you probably have a beer and spar over these things over a bar at the bar, and you still walk away and have a good time.
That would be a blast.
Yeah. By the way, that Wildcat you owned, did you have a convertible or a hardtop?
No, it was a hardtop, actually.
Oh, that would have been a killer convertible car, you know, doing Ocean Drive bone cruises around Newport.
Well, that car was like a tank.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, I can see. I just saw a picture of it. I'm like, yeah, I remember seeing a couple of those around. funny how big it was, and it's a two-door, right?
Well, mine was a four-door, because what happened was it was my dad's car, and then he got another car, and he was going to trade that one in, but because they were only going to give him like $300 for it, and I had just got my license, I'm like, I'll drive that. I was all excited to have any car at all, and so that thing got almost, I'm going to say, 7.5 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, but back then it was 35 cents a gallon, right?
Yeah, right, exactly, so, yeah.
I remember my dad saying, here's 50 cents, go fill up the gas can for mowing the lawn. And I was like, 50 cents, you know, and these days, forget that. Yeah. you had a couple of topics, but I think, you know, the cell phone one, I kind of agree that with the having the, I mean, these are different times now. I mean, this is a pencil box days. Kids have cell phones for a reason. Parents feel that they want to be more connected to their kid for a safety situation. There's been several times when kids having their cell phones during school shootings have actually gotten the police to the location quicker of the shooter, have been able to notify people where they were at. I think having them in the school is fine as long as you put them in that satchel. I've seen teachers that hang them on the back of a door in the school, and then the kids all put them in, and they're right there, but the kids don't have access. If it rings, you can go up and get it kind of thing, but they're not on it playing. So I think banning it from schools is a mistake because of those reasons. So.
Yeah, right. I would say that this idea with the pouch, too, you know, this pouch thing, you know, I was talking to a teacher the other day, and they were telling me about this pouch, and I looked up the pouch, and actually the pouch, I think, is a good one, because the student actually gets to have the phone on them in the pouch, and the phone stays in the pouch, shut off, and the pouch gets zipped shut, and then the only time you can really get it is during certain times, whether they have an exception during cafeteria time. But yes, in the 911 emergency that you described, yeah, it's nice to be able to have that phone right there in the pouch, and then you can go for it in that very rare emergency. But then when it does happen, it's a horrific thing. Yes, I like the pouch idea better than throwing all the phones up on the teacher's desk, but then you still can't get to it if you're in the last row or something, you know?
No, I totally get it. I do think that access, we gave our kids those little flip phones when I can't remember what age group, but we're still in, I think it was middle school. And, they weren't going to open the phone. Wasn't a smartphone. They weren't playing on it or anything like that, but they did have it with them, in case of emergency or whatever. That's kind of how we looked at it.
Of course, there's a big difference, like you said, with the flip phones compared to the phone you have now, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. I have a question for you. What do you think about, what's turning into kind of a big cabal around the Biden presidency, and the fact that there were a lot of people that had access to the auto pen, and that policy was being created by people outside of the presidency?
Yeah, if that's true, that's a very serious allegation. I will say, though, that I think there's a difference between the prostate cancer and the mental decline. I think those are two different things. But as far as people like doing things that they're not supposed to without him, you know, being involved in it, yeah, that should be looked at, because that's not good at all. No question about it.
Yeah, I think with the prostate cancer is that it's a very tough thing to identify, and it could be because my daughter's boyfriend is a doctor up in Boston, and when it first came up, he said, you really can't say that this is something that Biden held or the VAC or that anyone held back, because the prostate cancer detection is very difficult, and then sometimes people are heavily into the cancer by the time you really find out.
Right.
It's different than other cancers. And I don't think anyone was doing anything along those lines. I think it's just incidental that he's being told that he has cancer now. But yeah. So, and as far as Springsteen goes, he created great music, and more power to him. But he also wrapped himself in the flag. And you want to wrap yourself in the flag? Are you representing everyone, or are you just representing a smaller group of people? I think he did his crappy.
No, but you can be a good American, give your opinion critical of this president, the previous president, whoever you want, and still believe in America and believe in the flag.
Sure. Yeah. No, but he's. He's making, he got paid well during the Biden Harris run up for presidency to go on stage. And, so is he really, is it really his opinion, or is he just finishing his invoice from
Harris? Yeah, but who's on the other side? Like Kid Rock, right? Kid Rock is a big supporter of this president. So he can give his opinion if he wants to,
I don't like Kid Rock either. I don't really care about entertainers and actors' political opinions.
Exactly.
George Clooney.
Yeah, right.
I think it's funny that George Clooney was the tipping point, was when George Clooney walked up to Biden. He didn't know who George Clooney was, and that George Clooney said, "We got to do something." George Clooney changed the whole political position in America.
For people that don't care for this particular president, of which I'm one, you've heard before, it's Biden's fault that we have this guy, right? Biden should have been a one-term president right from the beginning. The idea that he had the ego, his ego is just as big as this guy, the president we have now. He didn't want to go. You know what I mean? Obviously, it was time to go.
Paul, I say that to a lot of people. That exact sentence is that you don't like. I mean, people are ranting on Trump. It's like, Trump would never have existed if the Democratic Party didn't go so far left. The pendulum is swinging back, and that's based on the fact that Trump's on the pendulum. I wouldn't have voted for Trump, but I don't want these policies. So right. Neither do 73 other million people out there, whatever. So,
gotcha. All right. Anyway. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks for the call,
sir.
And
you
talk to you later. All right, 508-996-0500. Give me a call. I think we had a caller on the line, but maybe went a little bit too long. Well, that last call was always interesting, so I have no issue going long with him or any of our regulars. But if you are a regular caller, call me at 508-996-0500. And if you are not a regular caller, if you've never called before, or you rarely call, give us a call. They say that only like 5% of the audience, or maybe 10, they've done research on this, over 90 or 95% of a radio audience never calls, right? So I want to try to change that. I want to try to get those numbers up. I want to get those numbers higher than the last local election. Okay, so, you know, get up, you know, over 10%, something like that. 508-996-0500. You talk about any of the stuff that we've talked about. I want to challenge some of my right of center friends, because sometimes, you know, like they'll say the Democrats can be hypocritical on stuff. Oh, you got that right. But so can the conservatives. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the great, big, beautiful bill. There's a lot of things about the great, big, beautiful bill that are not conservative at all. So let's talk about that. 508-996-0500. Back in a moment. All right, having fun with Bruce Springsteen. I know my conservative friends were saying, yeah, stay in the dark. That's where you are. You're in the dark. But that was a good dance hit back in the 80s. And I remember when I was DJing, that was a very popular song to dance to along with the funk stuff. But we would play like a rock and roll set when I was a DJ. And, of course, that was a very, very popular song. And Courtney Cox in the video, who later, of course, became a big star with Friends and a big movie star and everything else. She was in that video, and that kind of catapulted her career. But those kind of songs like that, kind of the fun songs. I mean, we go to a concert. It is true. You don't really want to have the artist start talking about current affairs, I don't think. I mean, that's not what I want to see when I go to a concert. But again, if the artist wants to use that as a forum to give his opinion, he can do it. And I just thought, hey, you know what? Should the president be bothering to answer that? I mean, he has the First Amendment right to respond, as one of the callers said. Absolutely, 100%. But I just thought it was, you know, kind of unpresidential to do that. But hey, that's my opinion. And what is yours? Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've been on vacation, so, and I haven't had one in 6 months, so I'm really happy about that.
Oh, wow. Did you go anywhere?
No, I will in September, but not this week. It's just great to be able to do what I want to do, get up when I want to get up, mm-hmm. and it's just a wonderful thing.
Must have been enjoyable, huh? Just to have a week and not worry about, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to go to work and oh my God, yeah, I know.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, mm-hmm. where I work, in the establishment I work in, there's a lot of people with ages from young to much older across the board, mm-hmm. and especially the young people, they walk around with the earbuds on and their phones, and when they're not waiting on people, they are on their phones. They're mm-hmm. playing games, whatever they're doing, and the establishment doesn't do too much about it. And my bottom line is, you are the way you are because your parents allow you to be that way.
Yeah, well, you know, I always joke around about when I grew up, of course, it was a different time, but, you know, I'm in juvenile court as an attorney, and you see kids there, they come to school late, they don't follow the rules, they're lazy, they don't want to do anything, and I say, well, this one's got, and again, I'm not, you know, poking fun at any kind of diagnosis, but, you know, sometimes I think the diagnosis are overdone, ADHD or this or that, you know, and I said, my dad had a good remedy for the ADHD. Go to school or I kick your rear end, you know, and that was the end of the ball game. That took care of ADD, ODD, ABB, and everything else, you know?
Absolutely. And we have so many labels on things nowadays that you never saw back in the day. We didn't have phones back in the day except for connected to the walls. And we grew up just fine. We survived. But that's the problem. I've talked to teachers, numerous teachers. I have friends there. Almost all my friends are teachers. And a lot of them have gotten out of the field earlier because they can't discipline the kids. They're not allowed to. They can't even look at them a certain way. And I spoke with somebody in my establishment that's a manager, and she's young. And she told me, I almost fell over when I heard this. Well, you know, this is a different generation nowadays. The kids are the way they are, and you just kind of have to deal with it. Oh, my goodness gracious, that is so backwards. So absolutely
backwards. Yeah, I think our generation let it happen, I think.
I don't know, because we're from the baby boomers. I know when I had my child, I disciplined her. She couldn't just do everything she wanted to do and have everything she wanted to have. I believe it's now been the millennials.
Right, the one after us, right.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. My daughter's generation, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And they just allow the kids to do whatever. I've seen it. Like, in my establishment one time, this little kid actually smacked my arm. And I looked at his mother and I said, if you were my child, I says, you would never be allowed to do that. And the mother just stood there like a pillar of salt.
Yeah. Are you able to say what you do, or would you rather not?
I'd rather not go into it.
All right. Okay.
But the thing is, it's just unbelievable how this world has changed, like in leaps and bounds.
Parents are weak. They're weak. You know, they let the kids run the show. You know, parents should be strong and make a sort of like a, I don't know, like set an example. You know what I mean? Not be so weak.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you don't want your kids just to grow up like weeds everywhere and do whatever they want, go where they want and have what they want. There's boundaries. There's rules and regulations. Kids don't know everything. They don't have all the answers to things. That's how you learn. Your parents are the ones who are your biggest example, and your teachers when you go to school as well. And if you're not allowed to be able to express the things that everybody has boundaries. You have to. You have to know you can't always have what you want all the time.
All right. Well,
and I agree with you.
Thank you very much for the call. I've got others. I appreciate it. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. And I'm sorry you have to go back to work.
Oh, I know. Well, that's okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day. All right. I start feeling my age when, you know, people call up, and I feel this way too. It's like, well, when I was a kid, we did it like this, and I turned out all right. Starting to sound like my parents. But, you know, I can remember thinking certain things about my folks, and then as they got older and as I got older, I'm thinking, yeah, some of the things that they said, they were right about a lot of stuff, my parents, you know? And so we had different points of view and everything else, but I think they were right about a lot of stuff. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Paul.
How are you?
Oh, quite well. And yourself?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, what you was talking earlier about the hypocrites in the government of America with the Republicans.
Both and sides,
the
really.
Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but it's not only in the government of America. It's in all the governments of the world. That's why in Luke chapter 12, Jesus told them to the multitudes, you're all hypocrites. That you can discern the time of the weather.
Do you think that, I know you've called before, do you think that some of our religious teachings that we had before were helpful in having people, you know, carry themselves a certain way rather than just, you know, be sloppy and not be accountable?
Well, the problem is Jesus, who's the Word of God, told the Pharisees that they followed the traditions of men. Woe to you, he said. That's not good. Woe to you. And not the commandment of God. They honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from them, from him.
So your view is religious teachings, and we've kind of lost something there where people aren't quite as religious as they used to be, correct?
Well, the problem is they don't, it's not the pure religion, undefiled. They honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him.
All right, hey, I got to move on. I really appreciate the call. Thank you very much for that. I got to get to this break. But yeah, there are a lot of people that say that, even people that aren't religious, they will say, well, you know what? There was a certain amount of discipline that religion taught and some morals. Now, there are some things that, you know, you can look at some of the teachings and say, wait a minute, there's a lot of dogma and, you know, love thy neighbor as yourself. But are you really doing that? You know, reach down when someone needs a coat or needs, you know, help, you know, really doing that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think that caller makes a point that some people who are really super religious, and I would challenge the religious right. You know, like they're so conservative, but yet if, you know, look at this president. This president was never religious. This president didn't follow, you know, the rules of the teachings of Jesus and all this stuff. You know what I mean? But they kind of fell in line, which I don't understand that. So, again, I think that caller does make a point. Back in a moment, 508-996-0500. I think there was another caller on there that gave up, but the lines are open, and I will take you next if you call back at 508-996-0500. Some of the music I was going to play.
You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat.
Some school songs.
Back in the classroom, open your book. Keep it, the teacher don't know how mean she looked.
Ah, the great Chuck Berry talking about school days. As we talked about the cell phone issue, do you think there should be a statewide ban in the use of cell phones in the schools? Maybe not bringing them in, but maybe putting them in a pouch or otherwise making them inaccessible. And it should be statewide, or it should be sort of local control, town by town. I think it should be the entire state. I just think that we should be done with this because the distractions are just so much. What do you think about that or any of the other issues that we introduced this morning? Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
How are you?
Good. Paul, I'm Ned Heckler. You met at Venus de Milo the other night.
Oh, good, good. Yes, yes. Hey, that was great. That was a good event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed that. Enjoyed it very much.
I mentioned you before. I said, hey, where's that guy that said, I like your show, but I don't agree with anything you say?
Well, I respect you. I respect your show. But, you know, Paul, my mother didn't raise no fool. I know you have your finger on that button. I could get the trap door at any second.
Hey, we might actually agree on a couple of them this morning. I don't know. What do you think? What's your thought?
Well, and the fact you know I'm a Yankee fan, you can get a trapdoor even quicker.
Well, at least you didn't wear the Johnny Damon Yankee outfit like one guy did.
Oh, I went over and shook hands with him. I like that guy.
Anyway, what's going on? Thank you for calling, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think of myself as a regular caller, but I pretty much a regular listener. But, you know, every now and then, Paul, you get my boxes in a bunch. You're pushing the right buttons, and next thing you know, I'm like, give me the phone. The gloves are off.
Hey, how about the cell phone thing? We might agree on that one.
I'm an old-timer, but I'm an old-timer. I don't like cell phones in school, period, but I kind of understand where, you know, kids need some form of a communicator or some sort of access to the phone. I get it.
Yeah, but we never had that. And we turned out all right.
Are you kidding me? Ask any kid today, what's a phone booth? They would have no clue.
Oh, yeah, I know. Have you ever seen, like, the old movies and, you know, something happens and you say, oh, my God, look at that phone. Oh, my God, look at that phone. Or they pick up one of those, even like Everybody Loves Raymond or something, like Friends or something like that. They pick up that giant phone with a big antenna sticking out of it. And I'm like, oh, geez, man, it changed that much, huh? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Paul, and I'll end on this note. It was nice to meet you the other night.
Yes.
I was sitting one table over and I said, I got to go over there and introduce myself. But, you know, when you wanted to charge me for your autograph, I thought that was a bridge too far, Paul.
All right, thank you for the call. Call again.
Okay, thanks.
All right, very nice gentleman over there. Yeah, that was the guy that came over and said, yeah, I listen to your show all the time, and you do a great job. You know, I love listening to you and all that. Don't agree with a damn thing you said, but it's a great show. No, that's fine. You know what I mean? I think it's fine. I think, you know, you should listen to people that you agree with, but not all the time, you know? If you listen to people that you only agree with all the time, I don't think that's really going to help you a lot. You know what I mean? I think you really listen to someone who you disagree with, and if they can put together a good argument, you know, you may consider it. Now, again, I was poking fun of that whole Bruce Springsteen thing, and one of the callers said, yeah, but because he was on foreign soil when he said it, that's the thing that irked the president. Okay, all right, that's a good point. You know, if he was like in, you know, New York or something like that, but because he was in another country, maybe you shouldn't be saying something about your country when you're in another country. He still had the right to do it. And I would think that the president would be involved in other stuff and not be paying attention to what, you know, a musician says, you know what I mean? But anyway, if you make a good point, you might persuade me. You never know. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, my friend.
Yes.
Listen, when I go to the store today, miniature Sharpies, a black one and a red one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep them on me 24/7. So when I come across you, I'm going to get your autograph. You're becoming like a super VIP, bro. And you have your own show. You're an attorney. You have the Santos on Sports. Now you've got this gig on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
And a TV show, too. A TV show.
Yeah, your show. That's what I meant. The other show, yeah.
All right,
well. Who's your business agent? Who's your business agent? Who's shopping your room?
It sounds like it should be you.
Well, that was my angle right here.
What's going on?
I like your format. You keep it easy and simple. Unless there's something like a major issue going on locally, you keep it pretty broad and open. And I think it's a different angle compared to what people have been used to. And I'm proud of you. And I've been listening for a few weeks, and I was like, you know, I'm going to call him today, and first I'm going to do is rag his tail, because that's what I'm supposed to do. If I saw you two times back-to-back and I didn't rag your tail, you would think, why, what, you mad at me or something?
Well, that's nice of you to say that. We're having a good time, and hopefully, you know, we can broaden the audience a little bit and just have some different perspectives and have a good welcome into the weekend.
You have a great weekend, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you very much. All right. Wow, that was something. I wonder if my wife's listening right now. 508-996-0500. Give me a shout. You know, I wanted to mention before, you know, people talk about being fiscally conservative. And, you know, the conservatives are always pounding the table about the deficits. And, you know, so now we have this great, big, beautiful bill. And this great, big, beautiful bill opens up a hole in the deficit like you wouldn't believe. You know, trillions of dollars added to the deficit, to the point where there were many Republicans in Congress that say, wait a minute, we can't sign this. But of course, their arms got twisted and they went on and signed it. And I'm sure that the Senate's going to come around. Why am I sure that the Senate's going to come around? Well, you know, you got, like, you know, the senator of Wyoming who represents cows, you know, because it's like nobody there is going to be in the Senate. And, you know, the president's going to call him up and say, hey, aren't you that guy that has a mistress? Yeah, I wouldn't want that to come out. Would you vote for the bill, please? You know, and they're going to start twisting arms. And you want me to give $250 million to have somebody run against you in the primary? Oh, no, never mind. I'll vote for it. So I don't see it not passing in the Senate. I mean, they might make some additions to it. But, you know, here's an interesting thing, right? The conservatives like to talk about the deficit, right? And I'm actually somebody who is very concerned about the deficit. But when you have high deficits, you don't cut taxes for the people that have millions and millions of dollars. We're talking about the people that make more than $2 million are going to get a $350,000 tax break, more, in other words, $350,000 less than they have to pay before. You know, that's outrageous, right? I mean, obviously you're going to have a deficit. I mean, unless you cut the same amount that you're that you're spending, right, in order to match it up. Well, you don't know if they'll still spend anyway. I always used to say the liberals are tax and spend. The conservatives are spend but don't tax. And then here's the thing, too, right? If you look at the deficit, I actually had a disagreement with my conservative friends, which I have a few of them. But one of them, they were going back and forth, and I said, well, take a look at the deficits, you know? Well, they're like, well, where'd you get that from, CNN? I'm like, no, this is not in dispute. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch that garbage. I don't watch the garbage on the other side either. But the deficits, I mean, in 2020, the deficit was $3 trillion, the most in our history. Now, Trump was president, and it was because of the pandemic. It wasn't his fault. But that was the highest deficit in history, higher than Joe Biden, higher than anybody. And then when Biden came in, it went down to $2.78 trillion, still ridiculous. Then it went down to $1.38 trillion. That was 2021 and 2022. And then 23 and 24 shot back up again with the Buy Back Better bill and all that. $1.8 trillion, $1.8 trillion, $1.5 trillion. And now this bill right here, 2025 is possibly, even before this bill passes, 2025... because of the slowing of the economy, 2025 is actually going to have a higher deficit than we ever had before, even before this bill passes. Oh, and by the way, who was president, say, in the last 20 years or the last 15 years that had the lowest deficits? The lowest deficits in the last 15 years. Barack Obama, 2014, $480 billion, still too high. $440 billion in 2015. Yeah, I showed this chart to somebody. They went ballistic. Where did you get that from? CNN? What is that, a crooked left-wing propaganda chart? I'm like, no, this is the numbers that Congress gave out. That everybody, these numbers are not in dispute. I'm sorry the numbers don't say what you want them to say. I mean, do we want to do something with the deficit or don't we? I mean, these deficits are just as bad, if not worse, when Republicans are in office. So again, you know, there's hypocrisy to go around. Is anybody concerned about the deficits? It's only when a Democrat is in there that we care about the deficits. I mean, I don't understand that. And then what about the vocational school reforms whereby they want to actually have a lottery, you know, ping pong balls deciding whether or not you get into vote because the population isn't represented I mean, now here is an area where I agree with those who are right of center. They shouldn't be on ping pong balls. It should be like, okay, I tell my kid, you behave. You do everything you're supposed to do in school. You don't act out. You don't swear at the teacher. You don't tell the teacher to go F. You do everything you're supposed to do. You work hard, and then your good behavior will be rewarded. Good behavior should be rewarded. Bad behavior should be discouraged and punished. So if it turns out that there isn't representation along all ethnic backgrounds and racial lines, then we have to go back and interdict at the first, second, third, fourth grade, where maybe there's bad parenting, there's social, economic, you know, barriers. Yes, absolutely. But you don't just do it at the end and go, well, you know, the numbers don't match up, so let's have ping pong balls. I mean, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, hi, you're on.
So I was listening to you as I was tightening. You were talking about Trump's the way he acts. I guess, you know, his moral compass, I guess, wasn't, you know, not the best. But then again, we've had some the Kennedys, FDR, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, what he did with a truck driver that killed his wife and kids.
Well, he got hit. He that wasn't him that did that. You know what I mean? That was
no. But how about him? But he went after the truck driver to the end, right?
Well, I know he lost his first wife and daughter from an accident, which I believe the other driver was a drunk driver. You know, I don't know that Joe Biden had girlfriends, though. I haven't heard that. I know most of them do have mistresses. There's no question about that.
Yeah. But then we had the Kennedys, right?
Oh, yeah, and JFK, sure he, Marilyn Monroe, right? Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Yeah. I mean, you think you said something about a priest, maybe a better president, but then again, we live in the Boston area, and Father Gagin, I think I'm pronouncing his name right.
Well, what did he do?
He
had a girlfriend?
He was pedophile.
No. Well,
that
that's... Hey,
in Walpole, right?
That's different than... Well, but yeah, you're making a point that, yeah, there's hypocrisy within the Catholic Church. Right, yeah, right.
Moral compass.
Yeah, right, right, exactly, yeah. Right, you exactly.
Know. And then there's a guy that you're familiar with, at least you've seen his pictures in the courthouse, Edmund Moniz, right? You remember him, right?
What's his name again?
Edmund Moniz.
Oh, yes. Ed Denise you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, what about him?
Epiquitic.
Oh, yeah, he was the prosecutor. Yeah, okay.
Bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, no, yeah, you're right. He could have gone after him a little bit more. I don't know if they had quite the evidence, but they, you know, hey, he was the prosecutor. There's no question about that.
Right.
All right. I want to get real quick because I want to get the next caller in.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring up, I mean, don't want... Trump doesn't have a great moral compass, but then again, even Umberto Mides, the cardinal, he was covering up all the priests too.
Right, right. Okay, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Have a good day.
All right. Yeah, I think I was just pointing out, you know, the Christian conservatives are overlooking a lot, and I suppose he's saying, well, you know what? I think he's pointing out that most of the politicians and within the Catholic Church, a lot was overlooked. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Santos.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good, good. I was listening earlier, and I had a copy of my Constitution in hand.
Oh, good, good. All right.
I'm serious. I had it in hand. As you were talking, I was kind of going over things just in case I thought I would call in, but...
I better grab mine right now. You're gonna try to find some clause here that I missed, right?
No, I'm not, because I'm going to have to study up before I debate with you over the Constitution, but I'm no constitutional scholar. But one thing I wanted to say is that when you talk about deficits, who's the last president that didn't have one?
Bill Clinton.
He had no deficit at all?
Well, the individual yearly deficit, not the national debt. National debt's cumulative, but I think it was the year, the year 2000 we had a surplus, which is like unheard of when you think about it.
Yeah, we had a balanced budget.
Yeah, we actually had a little bit of a surplus.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad you said it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you knew that. So
yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is we're talking about hypocrisy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're making a point. I don't want to say a big deal, but Trump's budget is going to contribute to the deficit. Name me a president that hasn't. Not that makes it right, but to bring that up is something that maybe someone else would do better.
Well,
I don't know.
I think my point is that usually when you hear folks right of center, they're always hammering about the deficit. The deficit, look at the deficit. The Democrats are doing the deficit. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then when they get in, the deficits are just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think both sides do that.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, before you go, Jason Tatum just got named to the first team All-Star again. Can you imagine that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to drop sports right in the middle there. Did you have another thought?
Yeah. No. I just wanted to. I wondered if you knew who was the last president to not have a deficit, and it was Bill Clinton. I didn't know that. I'm glad you knew that.
Right.
I might fact check that, but I take your word for it.
Yeah.
But I just think it's.
Well, the conservatives will say
it was on to something with hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all my point I was trying to make.
Yeah, the conservatives will say, well, you know what? Newt Gingrich was there and the Republicans had a strong presence in the Congress. And so it was a combination of those.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. When we look at it now, Bill Clinton had a balanced budget. Is that because that's what Congress passed?
That's
a great point, Paul.
I know that's what the conservatives would say. But here's the thing, too, right? That was during the dot-com boom. Remember when the computer businesses and all that went bananas? So he was fortunate, too, that he just happened to be there during that. I mean, the NASDAQ, right, went bananas, right, during the dot-com boom. So he was fortunate. But anyway, hope you're enjoying my show's a little bit of different perspective on a Saturday morning. So you said you get up early, right?
I think you try to bring balance by saying, hey, you know, I thought the points that you made about the Constitution where an appointee, a judge, Supreme Court couldn't define a woman, and you're saying, well, that's not a person that I, you know, that's not a
right.
someone that I think, you know, all those were good points. It's almost like you were a libertarian there for a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, Brian Thomas, I could join him some afternoon.
the great libertarian, Brian Thomas, yeah. But, hey, I mean, it's always nice to listen and
Thank
hear
you.
Both sides. You don't have to agree, but there are some certain things that I think we can all agree on.
Well, I know what we can agree on. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You too, Paul.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. 508-996-0500. I know we got a caller on the line. Please hang on because I absolutely have to get this break in. We'll be right back with more of the Paul Santo Show. Going to be in the house. Give me a call. 508-996-0500. Somebody had told me a few years ago that I'd be playing the Notorious B.I.G. on WBSM. I would have said, you are nuts. That's the kind of music. I like a lot of different kinds of music, but, you know, being an old club DJ, I just like that funky stuff, as one of the callers said. A lot of topics on the table. What's on your mind? Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. So I was looking for my phone because when you were talking about the deficit, I'm like, no, Bill Clinton, he left us deficit free. And I couldn't find my phone, and then I found it. So
yeah. They actually had a surplus. I mean, we still had a national debt, but that one year we didn't have a deficit. We actually had a surplus.
That's right. We had, yes. And I even think some sort of type of stimulus check went out. I don't know. I think it's when Obama got in and there was because of all the money surplus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure about it. I know we did a stimulus during COVID, and of course, that caused,
I mean, that
was an emergency. I mean, when you have a high deficit, we had a big, big deficit during World War II, and we had a big, big deficit during the pandemic. Well, that's not really the president's fault. You know what I mean? It happened to be, Trump happened to be there, and of course, World War II, FDR, so I'm not going to blame him on that. But when it's
there's a war.
But when there's not an emergency, this is the time to try to pay down the debt or at least cut into the deficit when, you know, times are good and we're not at war or we don't have a pandemic. That's what I would say.
Well, you know, I'm just waiting and watching. I voted for him, so I'm just waiting and watching. I am seeing some of where all of this is going, but there's still some things obviously I am naive to. So I'm the one that can't really speak too much about certain things because I am unknowledgeable about certain things. So, but yeah, I'm just sitting and waiting. And,
all right. What do you think about banning cell phones in the schools?
You know what? I think it's a no-brainer. I agreed with Steve that a pouch. Just put them in a pouch, and they're there for an emergency, whatnot. And in the meantime, if a parent really has to get a hold of them, just call the front desk, and they'll put it on the PA system in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Unless these schools don't have PA systems, do they, Paul?
Well, I think they still do. I mean, I haven't been in a school in a long time, but I think they all had PA systems. So, yeah, in the old days, you know, if I was in elementary school, it only happened like a couple of times. So I had a doctor's appointment or something. There would be like, in the intercom, it would say, teacher so-and-so, send Paul Santos to the office because there's something going on or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I go right down to the office. You know what I mean? So you could do it that way. But I like the idea of the pouch. I don't like the idea of putting all the phones like in the front of the class. I do think that, you know, I mean, there was that school shooting. I mean, those things are rare, but they can happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, students were calling 911, you know, so if you can have the pouch and actually get to the phone, you know, I think that would be fine. You know what I mean? Because that way you could actually reach it, you know?
Yeah. So. And like I said, the PA system, they used to use it. So, that's where I'm at with that. And other than that, you have a great weekend.
All right,
it's
you
been
too.
A good show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. I'm going to be here for the first hour of Ken. Ken Pittman is not in today, but for the fact that I had some commitments later on in the morning, I don't know, they would have let me stay for another 3 hours. So I don't know if that would have been, you know, like a little bit of, overkill or you'd be ODing on me. But I will be here for another hour, the first hour of Ken. Then from 10 to 12, we have a Howie Carr rerun. And then 12 to 1, Jose Matos. And then 1 to 4, it is Freedom Fools with Brian Thomas. So we have a whole afternoon. And by the way, there was a caller there before. The reason why I dropped in the wisecrack about Jason Tatum, he knows that I'm critical of Jason Tatum, but he calls my other podcast called Santos on Sports. Well, that would be a great radio show, you know? Well, anyway, we do it as a podcast. My good friend Chris Santos, we try for once a week, but because he's so busy coaching and I'm busy doing so many other things, we don't get on every week. But if you go to Facebook or YouTube and you type in Santos on Sports, you can see some of the episodes, and we have an absolutely great time. And that caller that calls here, he also called Santos on Sports. And yes, I have the TV show, the Paul Santos live show, and I'm actually going to play a little clip of it. They haven't told me that I can't, so after the news I'm going to play a clip, because what I try to do is I try to do a local version of the old Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. So we have the monologue, we have the side band, we have the sidekick. I mean, we have the whole shtick, kind of bringing back the old school stuff. And nothing is funnier than when you look back and you see Don Rickles on Johnny Carson or you see Rodney Dangerfield on Johnny Carson, you know. And I'm a fan of comedy, so I don't have any tolerance for, you know, like a comedian said something and now all of a sudden he gets slaughtered. You know what I mean? Like, no. A comedian, maybe if there's a joke in bad taste or there was some joke that offended somebody, okay, I can understand that. But the person's career shouldn't be ruined because they said the wrong thing. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm First Amendment all the way around.